tell my lovely wife, and I said, well, I said, I got COVID. And she goes, okay. She goes, just come on home and go on into the guest bedroom. Oh, yeah, she's not giving up the master. Are you kidding? And so I got home, and y'all, I was just freaking out because I had heard all the horror stories, you know, people losing their taste and their smell, and sadly, some people died from it. So I'm waiting for the COVID wave just to come crashing down on me. I got to tell you something. That first night I was back at the house, I slept the whole night. Not once was I awakened by my wife snoring. And I love her to death, but this woman can throw down some snoring. I'm not talking little kitten purring. I'm talking Night of the Walking Dead. This is what I would try to go to sleep to every night to. It's like, are you killing a whale next to me? So I gently rub her on the back, push her out of bed. But she always wakes up when she hits the floor. And then she looks at me and goes, what are you doing? I go, baby, you're snoring. She goes, no, I'm not. I'm wide awake. Well, now you are. A second ago, you were sucking paintings off the wall. And then has the audacity to look me in the eye and say, maybe it was you snoring. You just woke yourself up. Yeah, let's go with that, psycho, because that makes so much more sense. But not that night, gang. I slept the whole night. Got up next morning. Breakfast was outside the door. I ate it, put my dishes back out there. 10 minutes later, dishes was gone. That day I watched every Andy Griffith and Gunsmoke rerun I could find without somebody standing over me going, why do you watch that stuff? Because Opie just killed a mother bird. That's why we're watching this. That night, dinner showed up, took it in the bedroom, ate, put my dishes back outside. The little dish fairies took it away. I got to be honest with you. I didn't see a bad side to this whole COVID thing. It was kind of like being at a spa. But yeah, but that's the problem. And I hate being this way. I hate being a hypochondriac because it's not fun because you're always worried about death. And a cold. Okay, I'm gone. True story. Every year, Gail and I would get our physical and we'd get our blood work done just in case there was something we could stay on top of it. So this happened this year. We got our physicals, got our blood work done. 4 days later, I'm out playing golf. 5 o'clock in the evening, I get back in the golf cart. I see a message from the doctor, voicemail. And this is what it said. You need to call us as soon as possible. What the hell does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. I'm dying. That's what it means. I hate being a hypochondriac because it's not fun because you're always worried about death. And a cold. Okay, I'm gone. True story. Every year, Gail and I would get our physical and we'd get our blood work done just in case there was something we could stay on top of it. So this happened this year. We got our physicals, got our blood work done. 4 days later, I'm out playing golf. 5 o'clock in the evening, I get back in the golf cart. I see a message from the doctor, voicemail. And this is what it said. You need to call us as soon as possible. What the hell does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. I'm dying. That's what it means. I called the doctor's office back. It's 5:30 on a Friday. They're gone. I got all weekend to stew about this. I called my friends. I said, look, man, I hope you know that I tried to be a good friend to you and that you'll remember me with a smile when my name comes up in conversation. I called my kids. I said, Daddy has loved you with all his heart. And I said, you're going to find a new daddy. And I'm sure he'll be nice. And just please remember me that I tried to do. I know I made some bad decisions, but, you know. And my daughter goes, what's wrong with you? I go, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but the doctor called and said, I'm dying. And she said, that's what they said? I said, well, yes. They said they needed me to call him right back. And you know what that means. She goes, yeah, it means they want you to call him right back. I go, well, honey, whatever you got to do to get through this, I totally support it. I went to Gail and said, baby, make me a promise that when I'm gone, you'll get remarried. Please don't mourn over me. I'm going to be in a good spot. And she goes, what is wrong with you? I said, well, the doctor called and said that I need to call him as soon as possible. And you know what that means. She goes, yeah, it means they want you to call him as soon as possible. I go, no, it means I'm dying. She goes, you know what? You're an idiot. I said, well, I'll be a dead idiot because that's, you know, that's what happens. I called my lawyer on a Saturday. You know what it costs to call your lawyer on a Saturday to make sure your will's in order? Monday morning, that doctor's office opened at 9 a.m. I was outside that door at 7 a.m. I waited for 2 hours. This nurse finally walked up and she goes, what are you doing here, Bill? I said, well, y'all called Friday and said, call us as soon as possible. And I tried, but y'all were gone. So I just need to know, is it going to be a quick death? Am I going to linger? Do I need to put more money away? She goes, no, we just wanted to make sure your insurance was still the same. I'm going to need to make some calls. But that's what happens as you get older. All your conversations change. When you're in your 20s and 30s, you talk about girls and fast cars and movies and stuff. Then you get to 40, 50, you start talking about politics and sports. Then you get to my age at 65 and older, and all your conversations are about medical issues going on with you. I don't care how a conversation starts, it'll somehow come around to somebody's colonoscopy. It's like, yeah, our grandson's playing soccer now. Well, did I tell you about when the doctor had me in that room there for a little bit? And then everybody piles in. And I hate that. That's all my friends and I talk about anymore is how many pills were taken, what pills are we taking, what did the doctor say you could or couldn't eat? And God forbid somebody gets rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery. Then we become like witnesses at the Amber Frial, Johnny Depp trial. You know, we're just like, well, then what'd he say? What'd he say? Because like, you know what's next. It's going to be you, so you want to be ready, right? We have a friend who's a little bit older than us, and he swears he had a heart attack, but he didn't. But we keep asking about it because it's so fun to hear him tell the story. Because he becomes like a war hero in a Ken Burns documentary. It was Tuesday, 0700. I had just driven through the Hardee's drive-thru, got a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. When my heart was under attack, I reached for my cell phone, but I knew communications with my left arm had been cut off, and I knew that the nearest hospital was 7 clicks away. And that's when the panic set in. I remember screaming, "You're not taking me, Charlie!" Then he asked his wife, "Say, how was Joe's heart attack?" He said, "Oh, he didn't have a heart attack. He gets gas every time he goes to Hardee's, and he calls me screaming, 'I'm dying, I'm dying.' And by the time I get home from the Walmart, he's asleep on the couch." And we're all like, "So?" But that's what happens as you get older, man. It's like, oh, my God. This is how bad it's gotten. This happened today. I had to put my glasses on to help me get my contact lenses in.
Ladies, I am prepared to trade you. I'll let you keep all your quotes. You understand what I'm saying? Keep all of them. Every single last one. All the pictures of cats. Whatever you need to get through the day, whatever. But I'll trade you one. Quote. So you understand the deal? You get to keep all of them, but this one. And it's my least favorite. You've all heard it, seen it. Goes a little something like this. Goes like this. If you can't accept me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because we need more information. Like, how often are you at your worst, I guess is what... What are we talking? Like, if you're at your worst 29 days out of the month, you can keep your little funky one day. Also, how bad is this worst? Like, what are we talking? You could be great for 30 days in a row, but on the 31st day, if you burn my car, You know what I'm saying? And this doesn't work anyplace else. Why do you do it here? It doesn't work anyplace else. We were in school, you didn't go to your professor, your teacher, and be like, if you can't accept my F, you don't deserve to see me study and get an A. And ladies, worst has an ST at the end. You understand what I'm saying to you? Worst. That means there's nothing beyond it. So don't play with words. Worst. My worst is off the table. It's not an option. I'm from Brooklyn. My worst, I'm in jail. You understand what I'm saying? Like, Worst. And the thing is, we have professions where you can't even be bad. Forget being your worst. And you don't want to get on an airplane and the pilot comes over to PA. Ladies and gentlemen. If you can't accept me crashing this plane. You don't deserve to see me land this plane. You would get off that plane, right? I don't like his attitude. Flight attendant, please. I don't like his attitude. I don't like his attitude. Can I get off? It's crazy. And here's my problem. I have a few things. Here's my problem with that quote. Think about people you know who've posted that. Think about the people you know them personally. My problem is with is this. Their best is really just everyone else's normal. It's like having a friend who's always late, then he's on time once, and he's like, so what, fuckface? We're always on time. What do you want from us? And I get what the heart of that is. I get what that quote is getting at. Unconditional love, right? It's all about unconditional love. But stop it. There's no unconditional love. Doesn't it? Everything is conditional. See how quiet it got? There's no unconditional love. Cut it out. Listen. Life's a picnic, okay? Don't be the asshole who brings napkins. You understand what I'm saying? Bring some potato salad, is what I'm saying. We don't need forks. Come on now, bring something to the table. I want us to be nice to each other. That'd be great. We could be nicer. So pay attention and be nice. That may be, those two things may not be able to happen at the same time, but. And I think when it's guys, when guys deal with guys, it's okay. Somehow we, because no one, we don't want it to get crazy. We understand where it could go. And when ladies deal with ladies, you find a way to. I don't know how it works, but there's it happens, you know. But when it's women dealing with men, sometimes it gets tough. Now I want you to understand something. I'm not talking about relationships here. That's different. That's love. That's off the table. I'm just talking about perfect strangers. Like it gets crazy. I went to this office building. I went to this office building not too long ago. True story, okay? See a friend of mine who works there. Now look at me. You see what's going on. You see me. I'm a friendly Negro. Like I'm a. I'm wearing a cardigan. Come on. You know me. You know who I'm. You know what I'm about. Like I say ask with a K. Like you understand. You understand who I am. So I go into this office building to see my friend who works there, who told me to come. My friend isn't there. I go, okay, thank you. Can you just tell her Dwayne stopped by? Thank you very much. And I'm leaving. That was it. 5 seconds, tops, the whole thing. Some lady who works there didn't even know me. She goes, yeah, bye. Yeah, go. Yeah, leave. Bye. Go. I was like, whoa. I couldn't do anything about it. She's a lady. I'm by myself. She's a female, you know. It's not like I had a female cousin with me. I couldn't be like, Tasha, handle this. I was by myself. Let me tell you another story so you understand where I'm going with this. I'm at a red light. I'm in my car. I'm at a red light. Just waiting, okay? Big ass sign right here and on the floor, on the ground. It says, I can go my left, I can go left, or I can go straight. Okay, this is what's happening. Next to me, this lane, there's a lady, there's a woman, and she's waiting, and there's a big arrow here and on the ground that says she has to go left. Let's review, all right? Over here, left only. Over here, the world is my oyster, right? I can do whatever I want. The world is my oyster. The light turns green. I decide to take my left option. She goes straight. So we almost hit each other within inches. We're like this close. And I'm like, lady, what are you doing, right? True story, 100% true story. She rolls down her window, looks me right in the face, and she goes, use your fucking head. And I was like, Now, why am I telling you this story? Point of that story is this. If that was a guy in that car, that was a man in that car, I wouldn't even be here right now. You understand? I wouldn't be here. You'd be like, what happened to Dwayne? Oh, you didn't hear what happened? He... He killed this guy at an intersection. Did you hear about that?
If I could describe my perfect man, physically, it's Craig Tovey. He's 6'2". He's a combination between Jason Sudeikis and John Krasinski. He's got a penchant for deep conversation and a great sense of humor. Before I go further, by round of applause, anybody in this audience who has children? How many of you guys have children? Great, great, great. Okay. Now, out of everybody who just clapped, clap again if you were married when you had those children. Great. Okay. Now, how many of you accidentally got pregnant from a one-night stand with your friend Craig, and now you're co-parenting a 3.5-year-old? So just, okay. Well, boy, do I have a story for you. Good old Craig. He came over that night to make me feel better. And it was a rough night for both of us. First off, he had had 2 bottles of Coors Light, and I had 2 bottles of Chardonnay. So, a very different vibe going on. At one point during sex, he asked me to not throw up on him. So not the whirlwind romance we're all hoping for, right? The next morning, I text and I go, hey man, I just want to make sure we're good. And he goes, yeah, we're so good. I wouldn't even consider what we did last night sex. And I was like, oh, thank God, me neither. Woo! I was like, so can we make a pact? And he's like, yeah. I go, let's not tell anybody. He's like, no, we're not going to tell anybody. So we made a vow. We are not going to tell a single person for the rest of our lives under any circumstances that we ever had sex. Yeah. Yeah. What a fun promise. Because 3 weeks later, a late period, a positive pregnancy test, we were like, we're gonna have to tell a lot of fucking people, right? So here's the interesting thing about Craig and I. We both come from very conservative and religious families, and we both left them to pursue a career in entertainment and hedonism, okay? So this was not on either of our 5-year plans, okay? Now, Craig was supportive from the beginning. When I say supportive, he was like, I'm gonna support you, whatever you decide to do, just make sure you make the right decision, okay? I'm gonna support you. Like, that was him supporting me. Now, I didn't want to be a mom. I should say, I never wanted to be a single mom. I was raised by one. I saw how hard that was, and I was like, absolutely not, hard pass. Did my mom teach me how to make white Russians by the time I was 8? Yes, but other than that, not a lot of perks, okay? Yes. But here I was looking down the barrel of being a single mom, and I was like, what am I gonna do? And my therapist, Annie, said, well, you know, Nicole, sometimes we create what we fear most. And I'm like, yeah, but if that were true, I'd be performing this tonight in a room filled with snakes and pap smears, so. Now, ironically, I took to pregnancy swimmingly, which surprised all my friends, because I used to eat the morning after pill like they were Tic Tacs, right? You know, sometimes you put them in a Pez dispenser just to keep it interesting. Well, change it up, right? And I did have doubts. I had those thoughts in my head. I was like, I cannot have a baby. It will ruin my career. No one will ever date a single mom. But at the same time, I had this mama bear energy. I was radiating mama bear energy. Craig, as supportive as he was radiated more of like a midlife crisis is what his vibe was. Let me get specific here. So while I was installing a car seat and learning how to breastfeed, Craig got 3 tattoos and a brand new BMW. Right? I'm just gonna tell you this. Before I told Craig I was pregnant, he had 0 tattoos. Today, 4 years later, he has 9, okay? 9. You guys, wait, you guys. Wait. They're all so sad. Oh, they're so sad. These are the saddest tattoos you've ever, there's one, it's like a clown and it's crying. There's another one that says, eat the rich, which is something only poor people say. And then, like, six of them are lyrics from that band, The Smiths. Do you guys know The Smiths? Right? The lead singer, Morrissey, the biggest Debbie Downer ever. Like, he's... Morrissey's who's in your earbuds right before you step in front of a bus on purpose, right? So sad. So sad. That's... Let me think. That's 7, 8 tattoos. I'm missing one. I'll think about it. Okay, so Craig comes back to Kansas City with me to meet my entire family. And that's when my dad's like, are you sure you guys don't want to be together? And I said, Dad, no, and I can explain why. Now, here's the deal. I'm an optimist at heart, but I'm also a moody, moody bitch, right? And Craig, 10 times moodier. And so I saw this on TikTok, so you guys know this is verified. Anyway, but I explained it to my dad, and I said, two moody people can't be together. A moody person with a non-moody, two non-moody, fine, but two moody people can. So I said, Dad, it's like putting two polarizing magnets together when they're too moody. And you can't, long term, you can't force it. It's just not gonna work. But for one night, if you bend one over, look at that, pregnant. Right? My dad did not like that analogy at all.
I am a recovering alcoholic, 34 years sober. Thank you. There were a lot of one-night stands back in the day. Here's how it would go. I would get drunk, meet a woman, go back to my place, have sex, call myself a cab, leave, remember it was my place. I was a quiet drunk. Some people would say passed out. The haters. One night, I got drunk and passed out in a neighbor's front yard. When I came to, I was part of a yard sale. I was a blackout drunk. Now I have senior moments. I can't catch a break. I spent most of my life asking questions to total strangers. Questions like, you tell me, you're the cop. The great love of my life I met in a bar. We met when I fell off my bar stool. She was already on the floor. One night, that lady asked me to spank her. I asked her why. She said, I'm into discipline. So instead of spanking her, I made her go stand in the corner. Who's your grandpa? That was a difficult relationship. She had multiple personalities, and I'm bad with names. Like any drunk, I thought I could manage my drinking. I remember after one particularly rough weekend, on Monday, I decided I would only drink after dark. Tuesday, I bought curtains. In college, I wrote a paper entitled The History of Public Intoxication in the United States of America from Colonial Times to Early This Morning. I flunked out of college twice. First time because I was a drunk. Second time I was sober, but the shit was hard. I had a favorite drinking game. My favorite drinking game was called Leave Me the Fuck Alone. Rules were real simple. All you needed was a pack of Marlboro Reds and a Jack Daniels on the rocks.
Actually, that's all I needed. All you needed was to leave me the fuck alone.
It is a journey. When I first came back, I shot a reality show and they told me to go to Walmart and get a scale so that I could keep my fans updated on my weight loss. I hadn't had a scale since I was a little girl, and it was that scale in my grandma's bathroom. You guys remember that scale? It was this scale with the dial. And if you stood on it and you were chubby, it just went, ah! But first you had to lean down and scrape the Aquanet hairspray off of the... I couldn't do this before I lost the weight. You guys should enjoy the bending over part. Walmart has an entire aisle of scales, newfangled scales. The first one that I pulled down was called the talking scale. Marinating that, ladies. There's a scale that says your weight out loud in the middle of a Walmart. I don't think a female invented this device. That's a man doing right there. If a female invented it, it would be a smart scale. If you jumped on it and you gained weight, it would lie to you. You'd just jump on it and be like, who's a pretty little princess? I'm the princess that deserves another brownie, right? I had to try it out. I jumped on the scale. It said my weight out loud. This old man came around the corner. He goes, what was that, Missy? I said, we're getting a price check on a flat screen, Grandpa. Mind your own business. There's a sale in electronics. The next scale we pulled down said right on the box what it does. It's a projection scale. There's a projection scale. It says right on there, conveniently put your weight right onto the wall in front of you for your easy viewing convenience. Did you get it? Puts it right there in front. All I was thinking was, man, Walmart figured out we can't see our feet anymore. They had to send up the bat signal on that one, didn't they? No, 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 no. You got the Batman joke, though, right? There, okay.
I grew so used to being dishonest in order to belong. I have no problem lying in order to be included. And I'm not the greatest member of several problematic cults. Have you heard of 12-step groups? Has anyone heard of them? What have you heard? What have you heard?
They're kind of religious.
They're kind of religious, yes. They're a little creepy. Pseudo-spiritual, paternalistic language. Peer counseling, which is notoriously a terrible idea. I brought my husband to one of the meetings. He said, these people need professional help. Yes. Yes, they do. And yet none is forthcoming. And so here we are in this Zoom breakout room. Here's what I love about these meetings. Number one, free. Number two, free. Number three, they cannot kick you out. That's one of the main rules. So even if I go to a meeting with a full bottle of Jack Daniels and I'm eating an ice cream cake with a stolen porn DVD... All anybody is ever going to say to me is, keep coming back. So much. one of the worst rules about Fight Club is you're not supposed to say publicly which groups you attend. That's impossible for me. I tell everybody everything. It's preventative honesty. If I tell you every single thing about myself, you can't at a later date say, but I believe I was very clear. And my second album, third track. Also, I don't like keeping stuff inside me. If I buy you a birthday gift for your birthday, I gotta call you. I'm gonna tell you what I'm buying for you as I'm buying it. Hey, I am at Target. Okay, I'm in the jumbo candle aisle. Now, I love you, sky's the limit, but here's what's on sale. They got Yorkshire pudding, okay? They got something yellow called reticence. It's huge. And then they got tobacco cilantro. What do you want? I'll wrap that gift for you. And I'll give it to you on your birthday, and I'll remind you, it's a tobacco cilantro scented candle. You will unwrap it. I will yet again confirm tobacco cilantro scented candle. Happy birthday. I cannot keep shit to myself. So imagine how much it pains me not to be able to tell you beautiful people that for over 30 years, I've been in a very strange food-related 12-step program called Overeaters Anonymous. What?
A white woman was bulimic? How did it...
I'm sorry, I lost interest in my own narrative.
When I was growing up, my mom was the disciplinarian in the house. Okay, my mom's Jamaican. They beat children professionally. But what was cool about my mom is that she would never spank me at the moment I did something wrong. She would wait. She called it waiting until she had calmed down. Which sounds really good in theory. In practice, it meant I never knew when it was coming. When I would least suspect it, my mother would swoop down out of nowhere and be like, so, you want to put crayons in the washing machine? I'm like, Ma, that was 30 years ago. I think there's a statute of limitations. But you know, you do know that as you get older, that mother-daughter relationship gets complicated, right? Yeah, and I say that because whenever I go to book club, me and my girlfriends always end up talking about our moms. Yeah, that's how book club turned into wine club. Now we just read the labels on wine bottles. Alcohol content 12%. Ladies, I think we have a bestseller. Now, I will tell you guys, I love my mom, but I'm a daddy's girl. Yeah. That's why my favorite movie is Taken. Look, every girl wants to believe that if she gets kidnapped, her dad is gonna come for her, right? And I believe that. I believe if I got kidnapped, my dad would come for me. But my dad is 84. It's gonna take a while. He's gonna have to look for his glasses, find his car keys. He's gonna be clipping coupons trying to get a deal for me. Because my dad's a funny dude, man. I took him to the doctor, and we walk in, and I'm like, Daddy, we have been in every department here except OBGYN. And he goes, I know, take me there, maybe I'll get lucky.